Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We glory in you, sir. We thank you that you are the Almighty. You are the great one. You are the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Father. We thank you because you are ever present with us, ever guiding us, ever leading us in prosperity and success and truth. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is here with us now as we are gathered together, as we are assembled together. Your spirit is here at work within us, that we may will and do according to your good pleasure. We thank you, Father, that our hearts are laid open and bare before you, with whom we have to do. We decree that the word goes forward with power, with accuracy, and with strength. Father, that you would stir within us the empowerment not to only be, but to do what you have called us to do, that we may make an impact in our sphere of influence, that we may be the lights in the darkness, Lord, that the life of Christ may be evident in us, that your truth and your glory may be revealed in this world. We receive you. We receive the man of God, and we receive your truth.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, beautiful people. No, I said, thank you, beautiful people. Are you beautiful or not? If you're ugly, please don't hold up your hand. We don't want to know. We'll just keep looking at you and thinking you're beautiful people. I'm glad you're here today. The word today is an important one. It's one of those times when the Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and began to dictate the message. And then he was kind enough to let me get a little sleep afterward. But we need to know what God is saying. There is a curious and somewhat perplexing disease that has found manifestation in the United States. There are people who take it to the extreme and they'll have an arm, a hand, a leg amputated just because they want to know what it's like to be crippled. There is a lesser form out of people who will just stop using one of their appendages. And when they quit using their arm and they go through life just letting it hang, it begins to atrophy. Brother Damon preached a message 17 years ago about use it or lose it. It can atrophy. Not that I remember these things. I usually forget everything within 200 or 300 years. I trust you've hugged one of the ministers of the body lately and told them how much you appreciate them and their ministry. God is raising up strength in this body. Amen. And God wants to raise up strength in you. But just like if you let that arm lay dormant, within a matter of months, you won't be able to use it. I found out when I was in the hospital, they put me in a coma for 29 days. And pretty soon I realized I couldn't turn myself over in bed. I couldn't do anything. Why? If it wasn't used, it was abused. Now I want you to be thinking about that right now as I say, how much of the Holy Spirit is lying dormant in you? If we don't lay hands on people on a regular basis, pretty soon we lose the ability to lay hands on the sick. If we don't pray in tongues, pretty soon we lose the fluidity of language, and we don't continue to progress. I've noticed through the years, Marcia, that the more I speak in tongues, the more languages that begin to come out of me. And I'll be walking around praying, all of a sudden a new language will come out, and I'll go, well, I guess I just went up another notch. He's taking me into another arena. Well, Pastor, I thought we had a prayer language. You have a prayer language that is the basis for your beginning with God. Like I have a muscle, but if I keep working it, I'll have more of that muscle, and it will have more ability and more dexterity and more usefulness. Begin to pray in the Spirit daily. Well, Pastor, I prayed in the Spirit Wednesday night. I'll probably pray again today. No, every day, practice. You're in the car driving. Turn off Willie. You don't need to listen to Jay-Z today. Just turn him off. And pray in the Spirit. And I will tell you this, by the end of 2 weeks, you will have developed a new fluency in language that you don't want to go back to not praying in the Spirit. Then begin to concentrate. Maybe you make a little 3x5 card up of Mark chapter 16, the last verses, beginning with verse 15. These signs follow me because I'm a believer. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. You see, I don't have to recover them. I only have to lay hands on them. In my garage, I have a number of extension cords. Now, those extension cords by themselves don't do much. But if they're plugged into a power source and I put a hedge trimmer on one end, it'll trim the hedges. Is the cord trimming the hedges? It's just transmitting the power that is released. All of your extension cords are the throne of God. Say it, I am an extension cord of the power of the throne of God. God wants to walk in you, and he wants to manifest through you. I can stand in the yard all day long and hold that weed eater or hedge trimmer or whatever other power device. I have an electric chainsaw that works quite well if it's plugged in. Become the extension cord between the person that has the need and the God that wants to do the supply. Become a delivery man for God's resources. This week, one of the texts that I put out, Word of the Day, some of you have heard it. Those of you who haven't are about to hear it for the first time. Those of you who have are hearing it again. And some people got it and texted back, and some people I haven't heard from yet, so I guess they didn't get it. A true giver knows it is not always what we give or to whom we give it, but what is set in motion because we gave that brings us great joy. A true giver knows it is not always what we give or to whom we give it, but what is set in motion because we gave. That's why the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Because a cheerful giver is not happy with, bye, I'll never see that 20 again. No, a cheerful giver realizes I want to put something in somebody's hand. And I have people tell me, you are the biggest giver I have ever met. I'm also the biggest receiver you'll ever meet. Because I know what is set in motion when I give. And Roy, I don't go, well, bless the Lord. I don't ever need to see that again. I don't want nothing back. I just gave it for the joy of giving. No, the joy of giving is not here, have this. The joy of giving is here, have this. Now I know what's coming. Because I'm expectation of 20, 40, 60, 80, 100% return. God keeps giving. You see, I'll never be without a fine set of wheels. In fact, many fine sets of wheels. Because I've given a lot of cars away. I'll never be without a nice home because I've given homes away. I'll never be without food because I've given food. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Not because I've reached an earning plateau where I'll never want. Because I haven't reached the plateau yet. I'm still climbing. But I've given so much that even in drought, I have a harvest. Amen. When it comes to giving to God, there are people who are atrophying their ability to be blessed. Their receiver is limp and useless because they give a dollar when they know they should give a whole lot more because their giving does not reflect their standing in life. Now, if all you got is $2 and you give one, you've done something. But if you got 20 grand in the bank and you give a dollar, there's something wrong with you. But what is wrong with you is more than the stinginess that has crippled you. What is wrong with you is you have forgotten the joy of give and it shall be given unto you. And so it is in these areas I was talking about earlier. There's something released to me when I pray for Rob. I was driving down the road the other day and I saw the white lime plant. And I said, Father, I thank you for blessing Rob with his job there at his position. I thank you that you'll continue to promote him and prosper him. And then I knew my account is growing because I gave. If I'm praying for him, God will have somebody praying for me. And I have people contact me. They'll say, you know, you just came on my heart and I just felt impressed to pray for you. Well, I planted a seed. And now it's coming back. But if you're not planting seed by praying for others, you're not going to have people call you up and say, Jerry, the Lord just put you on my heart and I've been praying for you. People give to me. Yeah, well, you're the pastor. No. Out in the public arena, people give to me. I expect favor when I go to a store. I expect favor wherever I go. And if it doesn't show up, I go, God, what? I don't go, God, what's wrong? I go, they ain't listening. I'll go to another place where there's somebody there that'll hear. Because my God makes a place for me. It's not always the place I show up at, so sometimes I have to go to another place. Because God doesn't follow you around saying, stand still till I can pour this blessing out on you. He said, the blessing is over here. Yes. The blessing is over there. Go stand there. But I'm right here, God. I'm right here. Here I am standing in the need of prayer. Who you been praying for? Nobody. That's why you're in need. Sometimes the fact that you took the time in your pursuit and you were about to shake hands with somebody and you go, could I just pray for you for a second? Father, I just thank you that your will and plan and purpose is being done in Barry's life. You're crowning with favor. You're granting unto him his heart's desires and expectations. And you're rising up to live big in him. And you will minister to someone through him even this week. And because you gave, it comes back. And I want you to understand this. The more you give, embracing that joy of giving, God loves a cheerful giver. Not because you're happy, but you're cheerful because you know you've just triggered something in God and you've set in motion His plan for your prosperity. I have in my hands notes. I start with what may appear like a strange question. Were you born of God? I was born of the house of Lillard. We were one of the founding families in Tennessee and Virginia. One of my great-grandmothers was secretary for Abraham Lincoln. There is a book in the Library of Congress called The Lillards, A Colonial Family. There's also a couple of other books about some of the horse thieves and murderers and other people, bootleggers that were in our family. In fact, one of the large whiskey chains was started from a still that one of my family members built. We won't give you the name, but it doesn't have Lillard on the still anymore. But I was born into a family, so I can lay hold of that heritage that goes back to the Huguenot Wars in Europe and from there back to Ireland where our family came from. Our family went from Ireland to France during the Huguenot Wars and from France to the East Coast and began to found Tennessee and Virginia's. If you go to Reno, Nevada, there's a park there, and it's called Lillard Park. If you go to Oklahoma City, there's a public park there called Lillard Park. Our family is known all over. But that doesn't mean we're nationally known. But Mario Murillo sent me a picture the day he was visiting Nevada before his move there, and there was a picture of the Lillard Park and the railroad museum that's there, and he said, "I didn't know your empire stretched this far." No, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're everywhere. But just because I was born into the Lillard lineage, I'm heir. Now, I've never been to the Library of Congress, and I've never pulled out the book, but I have a copy of it. At one time, one of our family members was curator of the Library of Congress. Just because I was born a Lillard, all of that belongs to me. Now, just because you were born of God, all of that belongs to you. You can draw on that lineage, you can pull on it, because you're a member of the body of Christ. Now, House of the Lord is not the church. It is a local expression of the corporate assembly that is worldwide. But you're a part of every church that calls Him Lord. You're a part of the throne of God. You're a part of the divine bloodline. As I shared with you a few weeks ago in talking about communion, the reason God said, "This is my covenant, my blood," when you were born again, you became a new species of being, and you got a blood transfusion, and the divine nature now is in you. God shed His blood for you, and you receive it by faith, and now I have royal blood. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir and joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. So are you. If you were born of God, then the divine nature is part of the new you. But John, if I never use this left arm, pretty soon I can't use that left arm. But if I start thinking about the fact, Ken, the divine nature came into me when I was born again. And every time I read the Word, Derek, the reading of the Word strengthens just like doing exercise strengthens this body, each time I get knocked down, I have to get back up. And when I had the heart attack, I was 265 pounds, and I worked out with 75-pound weights. And I like to stay toned. I wasn't doing bodybuilding or body development, just staying toned. So I'd do 15 reps just to stay toned. When I got out of the hospital, I was 165 pounds, and I couldn't pick up a 2-pound barbell, dumbbell. 2-pound barbell would be pretty strange. Look, a 2-pound, but I started with a 2-pounder. And twice a day, every day, I would work out with 2 pounds. And then it was 5 pounds. And then it was 10 pounds. And every time I get knocked down, I have to go back and start again. And I was standing in front of the safe the other night, and I said to Lou, look at me here, I'm with 10-pound dumbbells trying to get my tone back when I used to do 75 pounds. But if I have to start with 10 pounds and work back up, it's during that period where you're hospitalized and unable to do things, it just goes. So I quit praying in the Spirit, and it just goes. I quit reading my new covenant, and pretty soon I can't, doggone, I used to know that verse. What was that verse? I think it was on a left side of a page. I think I had that page dog-eared so I could find it. It leaves you. But church, the divine nature is in you, and you can exercise it back again. So this is the last time I got out of the hospital. And I'm standing there feeling like a fool that I'm having to fight to lift 10-pound dumbbells. I got 10 pounds in each hand, and I'm trying to lift it. And I could do 3. Then I could do 8. And then by hitting it every day, pretty soon I could do 15. Now I'm back up. Now I go for the 25-pounders. Why? Because it's in me, and it has to be worked. Well, Pastor, I've never laid hands on the sick. Start. Well, I don't know, Pastor. Lay hands on a child. You'll work up to an adult. Pray in tongues in your prayer closet so you can pray in tongues in the midst of an assembly. Church, you got to work it. But you know, Gail, I could have gotten out of the hospital and I could have said, well, I'll never be there again. A few weeks back, I pulled my bicycle out of the garage. It made my wife very nervous because she was worried about me falling off of it. And I rode up the street and back. Roger, I didn't ride to Round Rock and back, but I rode up the street and back. And it was work. But I found out I can still straddle my bike and I can still push it. And if I push it down, it'll come back up. And I push it down, it comes back up. I push it down, it comes. I can do it. And so I go, what was that I used to pray? And pretty soon, the more I do it, the more I'm capable of. The more boldness it develops. Church, you ain't got it because you ain't using it. But the truth is, you got it, whether you're using it or not, but you're going to have to work it for it to go someplace. For by these he has granted to us his precious, magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. What does that say to you in common colloquialisms? It says, Bob, if you'll read my word, my nature will grow in you. Some people don't have God's nature exploding in them because they haven't read their Bible except to make sure the preacher's reading the verse right on Sundays. And they don't even open that book until the next time they want to check if the preacher's reading it right. But by these promises in your new covenant, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises by those scriptures that are in your new covenant, that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Diana, every time I read, with his stripes I was healed, something grows in me. Every time I read, my God supplies all of my need, something grows in me. Every time I read, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability, something grows inside me. That something is the divine nature. And the more I do it, the stronger it becomes. And pretty soon I can boldly look in the devil's face and say, get. Hit the road, snake, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more. We hadn't sang that in a while. The divine nature rules over and exercises authority over creation. That's why God put it in you, so that you could join him in ruling in the earth. God's original intent, Genesis 1, 26 and 28, take dominion over the earth, rule over it, multiply, fill it, and bring it under your authority, as your authority is under God's authority. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse has withered. And Jesus answered to them, saying, have faith in God. The literal Hebrew says, have the faith of God. How do I get the faith of God? By having God's word in my mouth and in my heart. Truly I say to you, truly, verily, verily, of a fact I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now, he didn't say you couldn't doubt in your head, because your head's not going to move it. It's not mental power. It's the divine nature that you've built up through praying in the Spirit and reading the Word. But believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe when you pray that you have them. And I received it as soon as I prayed. It will come and manifest itself. But until I take ownership of it, it's not required to come. Say this with me. I have the divine nature. I have the authority of God living in me. Authority to rule over creation. Church, it's time for us to take up our divine nature and say to the end of the darkness, light be. Sickness, go. We need to stop praying, God, heal me, and start going, you lying spirit of infirmity, I curse you with the name and the blood of the Lamb, and I command you to get off of my body. You're trespassing, and I will not allow it. Now, leave me.
Amen.
I'll just call the prayer tower and see if they'll pray for me. The prayer tower is empty. They're giving tours. Put life's challenges under the word that's in you so that you meet everything. It's the 37th of the month. I don't care. My God supplies all of my need. It's coming from somewhere. Somebody has not been obedient. So, God, I pray that whoever it was that you were moving on to bring it to me, because you don't rain it out of heaven, you bring it through a vessel. Whoever it is that you wanted to raise up to bless me, I pray that they have that liberty and freedom in you to do what you've commanded them to do. God's not holding out on you. Somebody is. And if you've been holding out on other people when God told you to give to them, you don't have a seed in the ground to produce the crop you need. Sometimes you face a situation that you don't have the money for because you didn't give when God told you to bless somebody. Because God knows today you need to get a seed in the ground, because 30 days from now you're going to need a harvest. If I don't plant, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Well, I'm going to trust God to supply all my needs. You're a fool and ain't got a sense enough to know it. God provided a way. You work until he shows you how to make your money work for you. You see, we work to get the money to prove that we can conquer that arena of life. Once we start getting money, then we listen to God. How can I make the money work for me instead of me working for the money? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you highlight, underline, mark the word as. This is one place that I have a problem with the New American Standard. They translated as to size. If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, they totally missed the revelation. God was showing you the seed faith principle. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, how much mustard can a mustard seed produce? It is but a extension cord. If it's plugged into the earth and it draws from the earth the power and authority, it'll produce the tree that produces that. And when he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, what he's saying is, Demetrius, get this. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would plant it in me. And you would wither and die as that seed has to. So it's no longer you that lives, but me that's living through you. And once you reach the point that it is me, the divine nature living through you, you can do all things. You can produce the tree, the mustard, the shade, the shelter for the birds. The medicine that is produced from the mustard. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, emphasize that word as having the same property or potential. The mustard seed can't do anything until it's plugged in. Then it draws on that source, and what it produces is the flow, not the seed. The seed is but a channel for the earth's flow. It grows, it produces, it defies its small beginning as it begins to nourish many people. The fruit that comes from the seed takes time to develop and come to maturity. The faith that's in you takes time to develop. You don't get born again and instantly start raising the dead. Most of the time, you get born again and start raising hell because you got a whole lot of wrong conceptions and ideas. You get born again, you need to be locked up with the New Testament and a teacher for about 6 months so you don't cause too much damage. The true believer is like a tree. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does prospers. Don't think it's the tree that's doing it. It's the stream it's planted by. Because you take that tree up and go set it in the desert, and it won't produce anything. So it is with you. You only produce because you're connected. You're planted by the stream of the Holy Spirit. And you're drawing on that stream and producing its fruit. And whatever it does prospers. Wow. People do get healed. People do get born again. People do get encouraged. People do get their lives turned around. Why? Because you're plugged into the flow. He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. Not extends its roots into every Tom, Dick, and Harry coming down the pike, but into the stream. The one that is one with it is written, the work of the Holy Spirit. And that tree, because it's hooked up, it doesn't fear when the heat comes because there's more than enough in the stream. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Well, Pastor, you know, I've gotten too old now to pray for people and do that. No. The fruit of that stream will not cease as long as you're willing to let the flow go. In Israel now, you can go out the eastern wall and go to the garden that's there, and there are olive trees there that are over 2,000 years old. And they're still producing. They're gnarly and ugly, but they're still producing. A tree planted by a stream produces shade, refuge. Its fruit comes in its season. If you highlight and underline, in its season. In its season. In its season. The Bible says, in due season, you will reap if you do not lose heart, quit, and give up. But you see, I can't look at Jerry because she's getting her socks blessed off today and go, where's mine? I go, she got her season, mine's coming. Because if I can rejoice in her season, I've guaranteed mine. Are you listening, church? Sometimes we try and be fruit before it's time. Well, Pastor, I tried laying hands on people. It didn't work. No. You tried laying hands on people. God didn't direct you to lay hands on that person because God's not going to tell you to lay hands on everybody comes by. But Nancy, one day you're standing on the street corner and God says, pray for that person. Well, I don't know them. A number of years ago, I went to Belfast, Northern Ireland. And the streets were patrolled by British military. Armored personnel carriers were constantly up and down the streets. You would get stopped on the street, put against the wall, and frisked to see if you were carrying weapons. Especially me, because I'm wearing jeans and cowboy boots, and I look out of place. I mean, the pink face fit, but the blonde hair didn't. I carried with me a suitcase with 24,000 tracts that I had written about God loves you. And I said, I want to go door to door. They said, you can't. You'll be killed. But I started going door to door. And I would knock on the door and I'd say, I just want to give this to you. And they'd go, you're a Yank, aren't you? Yes, I'm from America. You know Dallas? Yeah, I know Dallas. Were you in a car chase? No, I've never been in a car chase. their expectation of Americanze. But I would say, I just want to give this to you. Is there anything I can pray with you about? One house I knocked at the door, the lady said, yes, I need prayer. I prayed with her. She received the Lord. I prayed for her family. She brought 40 people to that church in 1 year. 40 that she added to the church. Oh, yeah, I got shaken down. I got checked. I got stopped. I got frisked. What are you doing going door to door? And they didn't understand. But they don't have to understand. I was planting seed. I was touching lives. Why? Because God said to. At that time, you couldn't bring a car into Belfast because all the streets were blockaded because of the number of bombs. We would be in a store, and an alarm would go off, and they'd say, get out of the store. There's a bomb threat. Lou and I had gone to the American Cafe at Lloyd's of London one day, and they have a number of different restaurants in Lloyd's of London. If you've never been to Lloyd's of London, it's four square blocks of Harrods. They're insured by the Lloyd's of London, but Harrods. It's four square blocks, and there's everything that you could possibly want in there. Their bed sheets start at $1,000 and go up. In the men's department, there was a new Jaguar sitting on the floor in the men's department. Nothing in the store had a price tag on it. Because if you have to ask, you can't afford it. That was their reply. So I'm going to tell you I like this, and then you're just going to tell me what the price is exactly. No, I don't like that. That's like giving you my pen to write your own check. But we enjoyed a nice meal there. Watched the other patrons to make sure we was picking up the right fork and the right spoon. And you know, you come out and you had seven forks and five spoons. And that little bowl they set down first, that's not soup. That's just water to dip your hands in. Thought, man, this is the blandest soup. And the next morning, Lou says, I want to go back and I want to try that other restaurant. And something inside me said no, and I said, I don't think so. Let's just lay around until it's time to go grab a cab for a flight. Let's just kick back and take it easy. What we didn't know is an IRA pulled a car up to the entrance to that part of Harrods, detonated a bomb, and blew that restaurant out. I could have been sitting there, but you see, I was planting seeds and I was praying, and the Spirit was active in me, and it said, don't go back. Now, I'm normally a giving person. We arrived in London. My wife wanted to see the sights. I stopped a cab and I said, how much for you to drive us around and show us the sights? Because it was so freezing cold. I sat in the back seat rubbing her feet while he showed us Big Ben and the Kensington Palace and different things that were there. And we got a tour of London from a cab. Well, Pastor, what did that cost? You don't want to know. But he took us all over London and showed us everything. And then I didn't have to worry about what I'd do with the rest of my money. But I'm that way. We go places and I want to see something. We were at a hotel in Riverside, California, and I'd heard about some suites that are there from famous writers and a famous pilot, all that live there. It's a historic hotel. I wanted to see it. We got there and they said, you can't. I said to the bell captain, could I arrange a private tour? And we had a private tour of the hotel. So it wasn't that me just saying, no, I don't want to go. Normally, if my wife says, I want, I play fetch. But something in here said no. At first thought, yeah, we'll go back to Heritage. We'll try that restaurant. The other's good. No. And I'll never find out what it's going to be like to eat in that restaurant because it went pop. But if you'll start activating the divine nature that's in you through praying in the Spirit, through quiet listening, through reading the New Covenant. Well, Pastor, I like to read the Old Covenant. It don't quicken your spirit. It's history. It's a covenant for other people. There ain't nothing in it for you. But everything that's in it for them, you have something better in your covenant for you. So if they got that with their covenant, you can get so much more with yours. Why do I want to go back and get what they got? We're going to have a study in prayer. Now, in the Hebrew language, the words for prayer were, oh, shut up, fool. We're going to do a music seminar. The Hebrew words for music were another covenant, another time, another people. What is my God doing for me in my time? That's the will I get paid on. I don't get paid on the Old Testament. I get paid on the New. I learn lessons from the old. I learn truth from the new. Your fruit comes in your season. Each tree has its own season. Yours and mine in my neighborhood. Across the street from me are people who never do anything with their crepe myrtles. And they bloom first in the neighborhood every year. I go out and I cut my limbs back, I fertilize it, I do everything they say. And then I watch their flowers for 2 or 3 weeks before mine has flowers. And I used to go, I don't get it, God. And he said, you're not paying attention. Each tree has its own season. That one has a different view of the sun than your tree does. It's on the other side of the street. It's getting sun while yours is still in the shade from the house. Now, son, what lesson are you learning? Every tree brings forth its fruit in its season. I've had fruit trees in the yard, and this one would have the budding of peaches, and that one didn't even have the flowers yet. But, Pastor, isn't there a season for peaches? Yeah, but it's a long season. And not every tree comes in at the same time. I can't look over and go, God, I see what you're doing in Brian and Holly's life. When are you going to do that for me? No, no, no. That's how you cut yourself off from God. You look over at Brian and Holly and you say, God, you're blessing them. It must be their season, and my season's coming. Because if I can rejoice in their season, I can have my own. But if I lose heart because of their season, I've given up my contact with God. Sometimes it's hard to enjoy the neighbor's beautiful flowers while yours still look like ugly twigs. But you go, they're both trees. They're both in the same neighborhood. Mine will have flowers just like that. I have the divine nature. I'm born of God. I will lay hands on the sick. I will speak with new tongues. I will cast out devils. Are you listening, church? Some of you, God is quickening your spirit. Your season is about to burst forth. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in our own individual specific time of harvest, we will reap if we do not grow weary because our crop hasn't already come in. He is the vine. We are the branches. We're connected. His flow is in us. His flow is through us. There are no exceptions. If you're born of God, you're connected. I've got friends in high places. No, I've got a daddy in high places. From the teaching of our anointed Redeemer on the application of faith, we go to Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, you can't do these things. But if you would get to believing, you'd get to doing these things. Gospel according to colloquialism. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence the yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you, because all you've got to do is remember, my faith is an extension cord from the throne of God to the thing that needs the power. From a grain of mustard seed, the seed cannot produce a tree until it first draws the essential elements from the earth it is planted in. Are you grabbing the lesson that he's teaching us? As a grain of mustard seed, the mustard seed can't do the miracles, signs, and wonders unless it's connected, unless it's plugged in to the stream of the Holy Spirit and the divine flow is going through it. I am conduit, but I carry a charge. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides, take up residence, has to live in me, and I take up residence to live in him, bears much fruit. For unplugged from the source, you can do nothing. Your conduit. Stay plugged in through praying in the Spirit. Stay plugged in through reading your new covenant. Then you can do all things. Apart, separated, cut off from the divine flow, you're not capable of up to the challenges of life. But plugged in, you can do all things. Colossians 1:27. In Christ, Christo, in the anointing, it is the anointing in you that is the hope of God's manifest presence. It's not you and your spirituality. It's what you're plugged into and what you allow to flow through you. When God shows up through you, the giants of opposition will fall. I can do all things that he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I'm sufficient, rooted in Christ, plugged into the flow. I'm sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. My bowels don't get an uproar when someone says, pray for me, because I know I'm not doing it. But I make a damn fine extension cord of God's glory. Pastor, that's ugly. You won't forget it. All that a seed can or will produce is in the seed, but it takes outside of self strength and nourishment to do so. Everything Tara ever needs to accomplish God's will is in her, but she's got to be plugged into the stream. She's got to be infused with the new covenant truth, because that extension cord will never trim my hedges. But plugged in to the power source and to the tool that will, it gets done. Your future greatness, ability, and development is in you right now. Oh God, if you'd just come and do something great in me. He did. He moved in. Now let him rearrange the furniture of your heart. Let him hang out a plaque that says, God lives here. Your future greatness, ability, and development is in you now. The anointing working with and through you brings it to fullness. The greatest days of your life are upon you. Church, many of us aren't doing the work that we could do because we think we have to do it. And we look at ourselves in the mirror And we go, that is going to do that. But if we'd look in the mirror and realize I'm an extension cord and I'm plugged into the throne of grace and I will let him flow and manifest through me, then I don't have to do it. Those extension cords I have, they don't have to trim the hedge, run the weed eater, run the chainsaw, run the skill saw. All they have to do is carry the charge. From this day forward, I challenge you, carry the charge. Stay plugged in through praying in the Spirit, through reading your New Testament, and be willing to be drawn on when someone needs to plug into you to receive what you're plugged into. Peter said, I ain't got it, but such as I got, I'm plugged in, boy, get ready, here come the charge. Father, I thank you for your word, for it is not only the guiding principle of our life, it is the empowerment of our ability to function in life. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Not because I might smoke or joke or toke. No, it's because I won't have the right answer when the right question comes. But because I stay plugged into you, you will flow through me. And I'll give answers I don't even know. Because it's the flow, not my no. Thank you, Father, that you're rising up to live big within every person to the sound of my voice. You're doing exploits through them. You're manifesting yourself through them. You're infusing them with joy and peace, power and presence. Daddy God, come, live big in our midst and flow mightily through us that the world may know you are the source and you're active in the earth today. And the people said, Amen. I call you the blessed of the Lord. I decree that no weapon formed against you will prosper. No tongue rising in judgment, no curse nor incantation or fleshly judgment shall stand. But in everything you triumph and show forth the glory of the God who has called you to greatness. Greatness lives in you. Let it out.